2. No one was steering the ship. It had banked against the waves and was now breaching, being hit sidelong instead of head-on in a way that made the whole thing rock unpleasantly beneath Lila's feet. She was halfway to the stairs before the first pirate barreled into her. He was massive, but his steps were slowed a measure and made clumsy by the drug dissolved in the ale. Lila rolled out of his grip and drove her boot into his sternum, slamming him back into the wall hard enough to crack bones. He groaned and slid down the wooden boards, half a curse across his lips before the toe of her boot met his jaw. His head snapped sideways, then lolled forward against his chest. 12. Footsteps echoed overhead. She lit another taper and threw it up against the steps just as 3 more men poured below decks. The first saw the smoke and tried to backtrack, but the momentum of the second and third barred his retreat, and soon all 3 were coughing and gasping and crumpling on the wooden stairs. 9. Lila towed the nearest with her boot, then stepped over and up the steps. She paused at the lip of the deck, hidden in the shadow of the stairs, and watched for signs of life. When she saw none, she dragged the charcoal cloth from her mouth, dragging in deep breaths of crisp winter air before stepping out into the night. The bodies were strewn across the deck. She counted them as she walked, deducting each from the number of pirates aboard. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Lila paused, looking down at the men. And then over by the rail, something moved. She drew one of the knives from its sheath against her thigh, one of her favorites, a thick blade with a grip guard shaped into metal knuckles, and strode toward the shuffling form, humming as she went. How do you know when the Saros is coming? Is coming, is coming, is coming aboard. The man was crawling on his hands and knees across the deck, his face swollen from the drugged ale. At first, Lila didn't recognize him. But then he looked up, and she saw it was the man who'd carried her aboard, the one with the wandering hands, the one who'd talked about finding her soft places.
Stupid bitch,
he muttered in Arnesian. It was almost hard to understand him through the wheezing. The drug wasn't lethal, at least not in low doses. She hadn't exactly erred on the side of caution with the cask, but it swelled the veins and airways, starving the body of oxygen until the victim passed out. Looking down at the pirate now, with his face puffy and his lips blue and his breath coming out in ragged gasps, she supposed she might have been too liberal in her measurements. The man was currently trying, and failing, to get to his feet. Lila reached down, tangled the fingers of her free hand in the collar of his shirt, and helped him up. What did you call me? She asked.
I said,
he wheezed,
stupid bitch. You'll pay for this. I'm gonna...
He never finished. Lila gave him a sharp shove backward, and he toppled over the rail and crashed down into the sea. Show the Saros some respect, she muttered, watching him flail briefly and then vanish beneath the surface of the tide. 1. She heard the boards behind her groan, and she managed to get her knife up the instant before the rope wrapped around her throat. Coarse fibers scraped her neck before she sawed herself free. When she did, she staggered forward and spun to find the captain of the Copper Thief, his eyes sharp, his steps sure. Baliz Kaznov had not partaken of the ale with his crew. He tossed the pieces of rope aside, and Lila's grip tightened on her knife as she braced for a fight. But the captain drew no weapon. Instead, he brought his hands out before him, palms up. Lila tilted her head, the horns of the mask tipping toward him. Are you surrendering? She asked. The captain's dark eyes glittered, and his mouth twitched. In the lantern light, the knife tattoo across his throat seemed to glint.
No one takes the Copper Thief, he said.
His lips moved and his fingers twitched as flames leaped across them. Lila looked down and saw the ruined marking at his feet and knew what he was about to do. Most ships were warded against fire, but he'd broken the spell. He lunged for the nearest sail, and Lila spun the blade in her hand, then threw. It was ill-weighted, with the metal guard on the hilt, and it struck him in the neck instead of the head. He toppled forward, his hands thrown out to break his fall, the conjured fire meeting a coil of ropes instead of sail. It caught hold, but Kasnov's own body smothered most of it when he fell. The blood pouring from his neck extinguished more. Only a few tendrils of flame persisted, chewing their way up the ropes. Lila reached out toward the fire. When she closed her fingers into a fist, the flames died. Lila smiled and retrieved her favorite knife from the dead captain's throat, wiping the blood from the blade on his clothes. She was sheathing it again when she heard a whistle, and she looked up to see her ship, the Night Spire, drawing up beside the copper thief. Men had gathered along the rail, and she crossed the width of the thief to greet them, pushing the mask up onto her brow. Most of the men were frowning, but in the center, a tall figure stood, wearing a black sash and an amused smile, his tawny brown hair swept back, and a sapphire in his brow. Alucard Emery, her captain.
Mas Aven,
growled the first mate, Strauss, in disbelief.
Not fucking possible,
said the cook, Olo, surveying the bodies scattered across the deck. Handsome Vasri and Tavastronisk, who went simply by Tav, both applauded. Kobus watched with crossed arms, and Lenos gaped like a fish. Lila relished the mixture of shock and approval as she went to the rail and spread her arms wide. Captain, she said cheerfully. It appears I have a ship for you. Alucard smiled.
It appears you do.
A plank was laid between the two vessels, and Lila strode deftly across it, never once looking down. She landed on the deck of the Night Spire and turned toward the lanky young man with shadows beneath his eyes, as if he'd never slept. Pay up, Lenos. His brow crinkled. Captain, he pleaded with a nervous laugh. Alucard shrugged.
You made the bet, he said. You and Strauss,
he added, nodding to his first mate, a brutish man with a beard.
With your own heads and your own coin.
And they had. Sure, Lila had boasted that she could take the copper thief herself, but they'd been the ones to bet she couldn't. It had taken her nearly a month to buy enough of the drug for the tapers and ale, a little every time her ship had docked. It was worth it.
But it was a trick, countered Lenos. Fools, said Olo,
his voice low, thunderous.
She clearly planned it, grumbled Strauss.
Yeah, said Lenos. How are we supposed to know she'd been planning it?
You should have known better than to gamble with Bard in the first place.
Alucard met her gaze and winked.
Rules are rules. And unless you want to be left with the bodies on that ship when we're done, I suggest you pay my thief her due.
Strauss dragged the purse from his pocket.
How did you do it?
He demanded, shoving the purse into her hands. Doesn't matter, said Lila, taking the coin. Only matters that I did. Lenos went to forfeit his own purse, but she shook her head.
That's not what I bet for, and you know it.
Lenos proceeded to slouch even lower than usual as he unstrapped the blade from his forearm.
Don't you have enough knives? He grumbled,
his lip thrust forward in a pout. Lila's smile sharpened.
No such thing, she said, wrapping her fingers around the blade. Besides, she thought, this one is special.
She'd been coveting the weapon since she first saw Lenos use it. Back in Korma.
I'll win it back from you, he mumbled.
Lila patted his shoulder. You can try.
Anesh!
Boomed Alucard, pounding his hand on the plank.
Enough standing around, Spires, we've got a ship to sack. Take it all. I want those bastards left waking up with nothing in their hands but their own cocks.
The men cheered, and Lila chuckled despite herself. She'd never met a man who loved his job more than Alucard Emery. He relished it the way children relish a game, the way men and women relish acting, throwing themselves into their plays with glee and abandon. There was a measure of theater to everything Alucard did. She wondered how many other parts he could play, wondered which, if any, were not a part, but the actor beneath. His eyes found hers in the dark. They were a storm of blue and gray, at times bright and at others almost colorless. He tipped his head wordlessly in the direction of his chambers, and she followed. Alucard's cabin smelled as it always did, of summer wine and clean silk and dying embers. He liked nice things, that much was obvious. But unlike collectors or boasters who put their fineries on display only to be seen and envied, all of Alucard's luxuries looked thoroughly enjoyed. "Well, Bard," he said, sliding into English as soon as they were alone. "Are you going to tell me how you managed it?"
"What fun would that be?" she challenged, sinking into one of the two high-backed chairs before his hearth, where a pale fire blazed as it always did, and two short glasses sat on the table waiting to be filled. "Mysteries are always more exciting than truths."
Alucard crossed the table and took up a bottle, while his white cat, Asa, appeared and brushed against Lila's boot.
"Are you made of anything but mysteries?"
"Were there bets?"
she asked, ignoring both him and the cat.
"Of course," said Alucard, uncorking the bottle. "All kinds of small wagers. Whether you'd drown, whether the thief would actually pick you up, whether we'd find anything left of you if they did."
He poured amber liquid into the glasses and held one out to Lila. She took it, and as she did, he plucked the horned mask off her head and tossed it onto the table between them.
"It was an impressive performance," he said, sinking into his own chair. "Those aboard who didn't fear you before tonight surely do now."
Lila stared into the glass the way some stared into fire.
"There were some aboard who didn't fear me?" she asked archly.
"Some of them still call you the Saros, you know," he rambled on, "when you're not around. They say it in a whisper, as if they think you can hear."
"Maybe I can."
She rolled the glass between her fingers. There was no clever retort, and she looked up from her glass and saw Alucard watching her as he always did, searching her face the way thieves search pockets, trying to turn something out.
"Well," he said at last, raising his glass, "to what should we toast? To the Saros? To Baliz Kaznov and his copper fools? To handsome captains and elegant ships?"
But Lila shook her head. "No," she said, raising her glass with a sharpened smile. "To the best thief." Alucard laughed, soft and soundless.
"To the best thief," he said.
And then he tipped his glass to hers, and they both drank.